Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. We are so glad and so tickled that you have set your dials, or perhaps that you are listening to us on our website, SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com, or you are listening on one of a dozen podcasting platforms that we are also featured on, and that includes Spotify and some others that I can't think of their names, but that's not important right now. You can always Google that and find it. So this show is Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And again, so glad that you are joining us. And I got to give a big shout out to Mary's Choice, a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, who is so supportive of everything we do here. They are the sponsor of this show. We love them to death, and please, you consider being supportive of them as well. So today, I have a really interesting event that Siouxland Catholic Radio is going to host, and it is, if you want to get a pen, a piece of paper, maybe you prefer a pencil because you like to erase, maybe your phone, maybe your Franklin planner. Boy, did that just date me. Do we still do Franklin planners? I mean, I used to. Of course, they were expensive, but anyway, I digress. We at Siouxland Catholic Radio are hosting an End of Life Issues from a Catholic Perspective seminar. It's kind of a seminar, but it's really not a seminar like, you know, intense. So this is when it is. It is Tuesday, November 15th, and it is going to be at two times, 12:45 p.m. or 6 p.m., and we're hosting it here at the Siouxland Catholic Radio Station offices, and of course, that is located in the historic St. Boniface Catholic Church offices at 701 West 5th Street here in Sioux City. It is an educational end-of-life workshop series, and it is told through a uniquely Catholic perspective. Now, if you were so busy that you could not find a piece of paper, a pen or a pencil, or your planner, I will announce it again several times during the run of the show today. So do not feel badly if you didn't get all that information written down. But I will again remind you, it is Tuesday, November 15th, two times, 12:45 p.m. and 6 p.m. Now, I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how anybody at Catholic Radio knows anything about end-of-life issues from a Catholic perspective. Well, that's true. You are right. So we are actually partnering with Catholic United Financial, and they are the folks that are going to help us with this particular undertaking. So in the studio with me, and I know I always joke that all I do is bring in my own friends, and because this show is all about me, but I made two new friends today. They are Angie Jorgensen, who is a sales representative with Catholic United Financial, and Butch Byers, who is the regional manager for Catholic United Financial. Angie and Butch, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
Our pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Thanks, Joanne.
You betcha. So the listeners are probably wondering, who are you two? And maybe if we could take a little time for you to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Butch, would you like to start?
Sure. I've been with Catholic United Financial for just over 21 years. I'm a native of Nebraska. Grew up just across the river in the Omaha Diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And by way of Ohio, wound up in Yankton, South Dakota, and I live 10 miles west of Yankton now, and have had a number of different sales careers over the years, and had stumbled across this opportunity with Catholic United 21 years ago, like I said, and it just seemed like a really nice fit for what I was looking to do. And it has been. So 21 years later, here I am.
Here you are. Okay, and how far west of Yankton are you? What community?
10 miles. I'm 10 miles west, about halfway between Yankton and Tabor. It's one of those gray areas. It's Yankton County, but it has a Tabor mailing address. I'm a member of St. Benedict's Parish in Yankton, Yankton School District. It was when everyone still had phones on the walls It was the Yankton Phone Exchange, but a Tabor mailing address.
Okay. And I totally understand what you're coming from, because I have a Sioux City address. I live in Plymouth County. I'm in the Hinton Community School District. I vote at the, what I call, jokingly, the Happy Valley Township Hall. And in the good old days, I had a Sioux City phone number, but of course now that has changed a little bit. So I totally know where you're coming from, Butch, on all of that "where do you live" aspect of it's very convoluted. And so maybe, Angie, you are not so convoluted. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Angie Jorgensen. I am actually a native of rural Yankton, South Dakota. I grew up on a farm with 9 other siblings.
Mm.
I have 8 brothers and a sister. Was raised a cradle Catholic, went to high school in Yankton, and followed a path of technical education. Started working in the area of working with folks with disabilities. I have a brother that has a disability. And eventually, I did work in the direct sale market, so had about 10 years of sales experience, and I always like to say this job kind of found me through that opportunity. A member of Catholic United had shared with me at one of my appointments that I had about Catholic United, and lo and behold, seven years ago, this opportunity came available for me, and I've been with Catholic United this long. I am married. We have 4 children, and we live just northeast of Yankton. And I, too, am a member of, I'm actually a member of Sacred Heart Parish in the Yankton Catholic community. So there is 2 Catholic churches, and Butch is on, he's a member of the other parish, St. Benedict's, but I'm a member of Sacred Heart Catholic Church.
Okay. So, yeah. Excellent. So thanks for sharing all of that. I imagine the listeners might not be familiar with Catholic United Financial, so maybe, Bruce, you could explain a little bit about what the agency is. Bruce, Butch, honestly.
When people miss my name, Bruce is what they call me. The gentleman that hired me 21 years ago called me Bruce for 6 months. This morning, just this morning, I was on the phone with a customer service representative. And I told her, she says, "Well, do you prefer Don, or how should I address you?" I says, "Well, actually, I go by Butch." And she says, "Oh, that'll be easy to remember, because I have my favorite cousin. His name is Butch." And she called me Bruce then before we got off the phone. And we chuckled about it. So don't feel out of place at all.
Well, and quite honestly, you can't imagine how many different ways I've been called Joanne, from Joan to Joe to Joanne, you know, with the emphasis. So. And the spelling, of course, is a whole different ballgame. So by the time this interview is over, I am going to be calling you the right name. Trust me, Butch. Okay, so what in the world? Catholic United Financial.
Catholic United Financial. Basically, what we are is a member-owned, not-for-profit financial services company. And we connect people of faith, and we greatly impact the communities in which they live. That's kind of a lot in a very short sentence. So let me back up not quite 145 years ago. In the basement of Assumption Parish in St. Paul, Minnesota, on 7th Street. Still there today, right across from Mickey's Diner.
Okay.
And these families met in the basement, because this was a time, it was in the 1870s. And it was difficult for Catholics to access financial products, because there was a lot of open prejudices against them. And so these families bonded together and formed kind of a network, if you will, formed a safety net where they all came to an agreement, and they ended up a quarter, and they started this fund. Well, what this fund was for was if people within this network would fall on hard financial times due to maybe natural disaster, unexpected loss of life of the breadwinner, they would take from the fund and help the family get back on their feet. Well, from here they evolved back in 1878 to today into a kind of a full-blown financial services company. And that's what we do today. The fact that we have a not-for-profit status does not mean that we're not in business to make money. We are, because we're owned by our members. And certainly any members that are our members of ours are expecting a return on the investments that they have and the savings that they have with us. What it means is, instead of paying federal taxes, we funnel that money back to the communities that we serve through a variety of give-back programs, matching grants, technology grants, chastity and abstinence grants, things along this nature, scholarship programs and those kinds of things. And although we're 100 and almost 145 years old, January 8th, we'll be 145 years old. We did not grow to a national company. We're more of an upper Midwestern company. We operate in Minnesota, where we were founded, Wisconsin, Iowa, and the two Dakotas. So if you grew up in Nebraska, the odds are very slim that you would have ever heard of us, because we are an upper Midwestern company. And to be honest, we haven't had near the presence in Iowa that we'd really like to have. So
you have a stronger presence probably in South Dakota and Minnesota, maybe?
Minnesota, for sure, which is where we were founded, yes. And we do have membership more in eastern South Dakota than in western. I mean, it's kind of funny how things migrated, and just as communities were more settled and established back in the late 1800s in Minnesota, that's where more of our members are.
Okay. So, Angie, you're a sales rep. Mm-hmm. So what services does Catholic United Financial offer? And Butch kind of alluded to some of the things that you all do, you know, with your profits, you know, with your scholarships and stuff, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But what kinds of services would you offer to a client?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that we do at Catholic United Financial is we connect with people of faith, and we protect their future. So that's two of the main components of who we are. So we do a variety of different services, different things that we provide, from basic estate planning, things like that, senior concerns, folks that might be looking for some avenues for long-term care. We also deal with protection of families, so life insurance. People will reach out to us about their concerns about income for the future through their retirement strategy. So we deal with annuities, things like IRAs, Roth IRAs. We also have two Catholic United Financial credit unions, one on site at our home office. We also have one in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Some of the other things that we do is we provide educational workshops, okay? So we have a variety of different workshops, one of which is the end-of-life workshop that we are going to be doing here at Siouxland Catholic Radio, but certainly a variety of other workshops that we provide for our members and for the parishioners in the upper Midwest and, you know, in these different Catholic communities and things. So sort of in a nutshell, that's kind of the things that we do. We basically meet with parishioners. We try to listen to their needs and concerns. And if we're a good fit for them, you know, we try to give them strategies and products that will meet their needs.
Okay. And Butch, because you're the regional manager, what kind of staff are we talking about, you know, as far as sales reps and other folk? Because you said, you know, you're not at the national level. You're kind of more of in this area, which we like. You know, we love local stuff. So what kind of staffs are we talking about, and offices and things like that?
Well, we're still headquartered in St. Paul, Minnesota today, where, you know, which is where we were originally founded. We're not on 7th Street across from Mickey's Diner anymore. We're in the Roseville area of St. Paul. And that's where our home office is, and there's probably 50 people that work at the home office, and probably 50 people that are out in the field in the five-state area. And we're always looking for, particularly in Iowa right now, we have not had a representative in Iowa probably close to 10 years, and that was down in the Des Moines area.
Okay.
And a lot of it is, you know, Catholic United, I tell people, we're the best-kept secret in the Catholic community. And it's funny, because I was looking at the finances business when I came across paths with Catholic United, And the strangest thing, I'm like, why have I never heard of these people? I really was intrigued with their mission, but I was just as suspicious as, why have I never heard of them? Well, having grown up in Nebraska, and there hadn't been any representation of Catholic United in the Yankton area, there was no reason for me to know who they are. But it was perhaps divine intervention that the timing of when we crossed paths, because it's been a wonderful fit. And we would love to find more representatives across the state of Iowa, let alone the Sioux City Diocese.
Okay.
And but that's, you know, we have representatives scattered throughout Wisconsin, North, South Dakota, all over Minnesota, where we have a denser population of members. And really where we need to grow is in Iowa, in southern Minnesota.
Okay, this is good to know. So again, listeners, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Angie Jorgensen and Butch Byers, who are both with Catholic United Financial, because Siouxland Catholic Radio, in conjunction with this agency, is going to host an end-of-life issues from a Catholic perspective. Now, possibly you have had time to go get that pen or pencil and a piece of paper or your planner. Tuesday, November 15th, 12:45 p.m., 6 p.m., and that will be at our offices, 701 West 5th Street. We are in St. Boniface Catholic Church in the offices, and a uniquely Catholic perspective. And Angie, when you were talking about the services that Catholic United Financial offers, you were listing quite a few of them, but I wondered what commonality there might be when people talk to you about financial issues, because you threw out, you know, retirement, you threw out IRAs, you threw out quite a few things that I think we're all concerned about. But sometimes there seems to be a thread, and I wondered if it might be a demographic as we can baby boomers continue to age, that that's what we're thinking about is estate planning. But maybe I'm wrong. So if you could share with the listeners what you're hearing from individuals that you work with.
Sure. I think with what's going on right now in the world today, I think a common thread that I'm typically hearing from, like you had mentioned, the baby boomers in that age group, is from a financial standpoint, I think there's definitely a concern of folks really worried about outliving their income. I think that's a pretty big one right now. The other thing we hear quite frequently is concerns about protecting their assets. You know, that seems to be a deep concern. More specific around this particular workshop, the end-of-life workshop, I feel as if, you know, some of the parishioners and our members of our association have concerns about really making sure that their wishes are carried out when they pass away. Mm-hmm. So in regards to the estate planning, the estate planning piece, they want to make sure that things are simplified, and so that minimizes conflicts with their children when, like Butch always says, when they move to heaven. You know, I think that's a really deep concern for people these days. So I would say, you know, those three things are really prevalent right now. Okay. In the world.
Makes sense. And so was there a particular time that Catholic United Financial started offering these type of seminars, or has it been 145 years that they've been offering them? Or, you know, I guess I'd be curious as to what prompted, hey, you know what, we should really be getting out and doing this, because this is what we are hearing from our clients, our other individuals. Maybe, Butch, you could address that.
Oh, that is a great question to ask, and I don't think we were doing workshops as we are today 145 years ago. However, it did start out as group presentations to talk about what type of an organization we were and what our mission was. And I can speak back to 20 years ago, we were doing things like estate planning workshops, but with questions that we were getting. I mean, let's face it, we're a faith-based company, which is one of the neatest things. Because when we sit at folks at their kitchen tables, inevitably faith comes up into the conversation. And when we were doing financial workshops, people would ask the question, does this align with our faith? And we thought, you know, we're kind of overlooking that because all of our investments do align with Catholic values. That's one of the things that sets us apart. So we thought, well, why not look at this in our workshops that we do? Our they're really more workshops because they're engaging, they're interacting, they're not lectures that you go to. But why can't we reflect our faith and the questions that people have regarding some of these same types of issues? For instance, this will be an end-of-life presentation. And I know Angie has we've had these conversations a number of times. It's becoming more and more frequent where and priests will just hang their heads in frustration, and even funeral directors who kind of may have known this person and know that their faith meant a lot to them, they come up against these issues, these dilemmas, when they're working with the heirs of the deceased. Mm-hmm. And it's like no one really wants to reflect mom and dad's faith in their funeral arrangements, because sometimes maybe they're looking at the cheapest way out. Let's face it, everything's getting more expensive today. And so is a funeral mass important?
That's a great question that I bet is asked.
And the mass, the way I understand it and have always felt about it, is it's the greatest, the greatest form of prayer that we have. And why would you not want to have a massive Christian burial said for you at a funeral? I mean, mm-hmm. And more times than not, the deceased would absolutely want that. But an unfortunate truth is so many of our children today have fallen away from the faith, and it's not a priority to them. And so these are things we talk about in this workshop, are communicating your wishes and your desires, not just about where you want your assets to go,
right,
but what do you want entailed in your final plans,
sure,
in your funeral? And
it was triggered by members, really, this specific workshop, because we've had, you know, folks articulate to us over the years that they don't want their end-of-life decisions falling into the laps of their now non-adult Catholic children. And that's been a pretty consistent thing that we've seen, maybe especially over like the last, you know, 15, 20 years. We're seeing, you know, a lot more blended families. And, you know, so we don't just have mom and dad with, you know, four biological children, but we could have, you know, six or seven from a blended family and that type of thing too. And after, you know, having discussions with some of the parish priests throughout the Upper Midwest, they are all in agreement of they're seeing this happen. And so I would say that that's what really triggered us to really move forward and be passionate about this type of educational workshop is, you know, really getting in front of folks and telling them what, you know, the Catholic teachings are and those basic, you know, principles of end of life. And then, you know, our piece is really kind of giving them, financial decision or helping them with the legal issues that kind of surround end of life. You know, the important things that need to be done for that planning for when that happens.
And you mentioned, you know, the whole idea of, you know, the mass of the Christian burial and some other things that are associated with a funeral. And you are both lay individuals, so who did you pick up the phone and call and say, Father or Bishop, or, I mean, who did you reach out to? Because you could reach out to so many people, but I imagine you had to pull in some priests and ask them.
That was the easy part. They were anxious.
Yeah,
this is good to know.
Because they absolutely could resonate with what we were saying, that these we kind of think there might be an issue out there, like you think. They deal with it all the time. And they see it firsthand. And so the information that's in our workshop really comes from the Catholic Conference of Bishops.
Okay.
And as well as the Bible and different encyclicals from a number of popes. But that was the easy part, mm-hmm. was getting the priest's input on what should be covered and shouldn't be covered. And And it also provides an open forum for people to ask questions that they may have, something that maybe they dealt with in their family or they had seen it done this way with a friend or a family or something that just didn't set right with them. And they can ask a question, because typically we have a priest or a deacon available at our workshop to answer the questions. And we've had priests there where I've done both parts, and I'll say, am I getting too much in the weeds, Father? Please step in if I'm, because I am a layperson.
Sure.
And, but because of where we assembled the information from, we haven't had any big issues. But that was the easy part, was getting the priest to say, yeah, there's a need. They knew before we did that there is a need for this.
Oh, this is good to hear. And of course, listeners, when Siouxland Catholic Radio hosts this end of life issues from a Catholic perspective, our good friend, Father Roger Lenan, he is a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City and the go-to guy for almost anything and everything. He's always willing to step up to the plate and be supportive. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him on the altar because the pastor has another commitment or the pastor is not feeling well, and Father Roger Lenan is just a doll. I mean, we are so blessed that he is associated with our radio station and is willing to do just about anything and everything. And so, Butch, I was intrigued that you said, you know, that you follow the guidelines, because one of the things I was going to ask you about was with your financial stuff is the investments that the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, has guidelines for places you probably shouldn't invest your monies, because for whatever reason they don't follow what I would call tenets of the Catholic faith, be it the dignity of a human person or social issues or whatever. So I was intrigued that you had mentioned that. So that is no easy task either, because then you got to sit down and you got to compare what they're doing. And it sounds like that, again, is something that individuals or clients or do you call them clients? Is that a good word? Or you call them friends? Or
we call them members.
Okay.
Since they, you know, we're made up of members.
Okay.
So we refer to our clients as members. I guess that's one of the ways we set ourselves apart from a commercial company. Commercial companies have clients. We have members, or customers, if you will.
And so, so then you follow those guidelines, you know, and that, again, kind of reinforces what your mission is as Catholic United Financial, is that you follow these guidelines.
We do. Our investment, the people that do our investments, they have to vet everything to make sure that we are not compromising our values. And that is, like you said, it's a very difficult job today.
Yeah.
So that's just another peace of mind that you get when you're investing through Catholic United. You can sleep at night because you know you're not knowingly compromising any of your Catholic values.
And so if an individual's listening and thinking to themselves, geez, you know, this sounds really interesting, maybe one of you can share what an individual is going to experience and what kind of time commitment, you know, because I might not come if it's several hours of, you know, I have other things to do. But what are they going to experience when they come to the seminar? You kind of give them a,
sure,
you know, here's what we're going to do first and here's what we're going to do next and that kind of thing.
So typically, Joanne, the workshop lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. We really try to be super respectful of people's times because we know that people, you know, everyone's super busy and things. So what they'll experience is, you know, when they come on down here, you know, we'll serve some light refreshments, grab a cup of coffee or a bottled water, and then Father Lenan, and typically myself or Butch will do an introduction, and then Father Lenan will take on that first presentation, which is about a half an hour of the Catholic teachings from or the basic Catholic end of life principles. He'll do that first piece of it, and then we'll segue into the other half will be done by Butch. He'll be talking about those financial decisions or those legal decisions that surround end of life. So altogether, it'll take, you know, probably close to an hour. Of course, we do like to allow some time for some question and answer. forum. Sometimes people will get engaged with, they'll be sharing their own personal stories. And that's when it really, really gets interesting, when folks will share about situations that they've experienced in their own life and things. So, but altogether, typically, you can bank on about an hour of time that it would take to come to this workshop.
It's the kind of workshop, the more engagement we get from the people who attend, the better the workshop is overall. I've been at workshops where people who, like Angie said, share some of their personal experiences, whether it's been their family or friends or something, maybe someone from the medical profession and things that they've witnessed through their job. Well, one time I know we've had a funeral director attend, and he gave us some great insight on some of the dilemmas that people were dealing with, which really just added a learning experience for everyone there. And so we do encourage the asking of questions and engagement. Like Angie said, it's maybe about an hour of material. But with questions and answers, it's probably going to be an hour and a half. If it goes any more than that, it's simply because people are asking a lot of questions had interesting stories that were very much open for discussion and looking for clarity, looking for maybe what that one question is in your mind. Maybe, you know, your child wants to be cremated and you're not, is that okay with the church? We cover those kinds of things. What is the church's opinion or view on that particular subject and other things as well when it comes to end-of-life care.
Okay. So would you encourage individuals to bring things with them, you know, that maybe, could you look at this? You know, this is kind of what I've outlined in my will and what I would like my final things to happen. Am I on base, you know, or am I off base, or is it more of a, they should like maybe bring a notebook and take notes?
I would say just a notebook, or actually we will provide packets. And I think there's a notepad or paper in there that you can take notes with to spark your thinking. And then if you're still wanting to know, do you think, you know, you just need someone to go to, and you don't know who to go to say, have I covered everything? Is everything in line? We would be happy to get together with you in a place where you're comfortable, in a private setting, and go over your individual questions one by one.
Yeah.
So not to say that we don't want you to come to the workshop and not ask questions. That's not what I'm saying. But when you get to your particular situation and you want to start drilling down rather deep to prevent it from becoming a 3-hour workshop, I would say, why don't we get together over a cup of coffee sometime in a place where it's a little more comfortable for both of us?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Do you like a certain number of folk in attendance? When does it become a little too much? We haven't really talked about that, you know. Have you had, like, really huge audiences?
We have. Yeah. And you do reach a point where if you're in a larger group of people, individuals will be become a little bit apprehensive about asking their question because they're afraid maybe my question is silly or something like that. And so big numbers will kind of cause people to maybe not ask that question they're wondering about. You know, up to 20 people is usually the ideal number.
Sure.
Anywhere from 6 to 20, because people will be a little more open to talk openly.
Yeah, and I've had some of our workshops where we've had, you know, up to 50 individuals there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times couples come together, that type of thing. I mean, ultimately what we're trying to make happen is we're trying to make folks just a little bit uncomfortable, you know, just to trigger them to get to thinking about, we probably better look at doing something and creating that plan type of thing. And we hope that, you know, people will stick around. And usually, in my experiences, and I know Butch would say the same thing, generally speaking, people stick around. They, you know, because we stick around, Father sticks around. And if they have questions, a lot of times, if it's in a bigger setting, they'll stick around to have that cup of coffee, grab a cookie, and then they might reach out to one of us and just, you know, articulate a question or a concern that they have, which a lot of times will just prompt us kind of, you know, setting an appointment, perhaps, you know, if they want to, you know, get together and take a really closer look at their own situation and see what we can do to help them out, you know.
Yeah, if you're looking to buy something, this is not the place to come.
No.
Okay.
Because
exactly.
There's nothing for sale at this. And Angie touched on it. When couples come together, because let's face it, this is one of the easiest things to put off all of us. Because it's big opportunity here for difference of opinion right out of the gate. Not knowing maybe how to even approach it, uncertainty will cause you to do nothing. Mm-hmm. This kind of helps chip away at that. And as Angie says, we kind of look at some alternatives. What does it look like if you have no plan? And, you know, you're leaving. Is it really fair to leave all these hard decisions to your next of kin? It's really part of our responsibility as individuals. And we just kind of start to work in that direction. And when couples attend together, then it'll open up conversations. It may spark conversations, start moving in the direction to let's do the, maybe we don't need to do a lot of planning, not a lot, but everyone needs a little bit.
I think sometimes too, we've talked about this earlier where people hear that word estate planning and they think, oh, they have to have this big, you know, this big estate to do an estate planning. And that's not really the case. You know, estate planning is all it really is just making sure your stuff goes to the people you want it to go to, mm-hmm. you know, and really keeping it very simple and trying to really minimize the conflicts that can occur within a family upon your passing. And so I think if anything, too, and I know Butch would say this too, is we want to take that fear out of people or those unknowns, because it can be kind of scary. You know, I was telling Butch when my dad died in 2004, you know, I was 36 years old with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I remember it making me feel like this was the first time in my life that I had really experienced death. And it was the first time ever that I really looked at my own mortality. You know, and then 3 weeks ago, I lost my mother-in-law to cancer and got to experience this again, but in a much different light, because today I'm 52 years old and have had a little more life experience. And the end of life experience that I went through when my dad passed away was kind of a pivotal moment in my life, more in my faith journey. Mm-hmm. And it really intrigued me to dig into Catholic teaching, and I think that's why I'm so passionate, because I really love people, because everybody's got a story, and death can be very scary, but I think if we really understood the teachings of the Catholic Church, it doesn't have to be as scary and all these unknowns. And so that's really what we want to be helpful with. And you know, I could, the experience that I just witnessed in this last 2 months within my own family and with my husband's family, it was very, very interesting to see how that could have played out and how it did actually play out. My mother-in-law was a deep, devoted Catholic, and I have wonderful, you know, my husband and his siblings are all wonderful people, but everybody is, you know, everybody's kind of on a different faith journey. And I just remember Jim and I talking about how that could have maybe played out if there hadn't been any pre-planning done and we hadn't asked those hard questions to my mother-in-law and that type of thing. And in the end, you know what? We gave her a very proper and a very appropriate send-off. And we were so blessed and so grateful. So, and I know Butch had a similar experience with his dad's passing. That is really a really relevant story to end-of-life issues and things. So,
and what might that be, Butch?
Well, could I just jump on something that Angie said?
Please do.
She talked about understanding our faith. And this is where I would really like to, Joanne, thank you for what you do. Because people, inevitably, as a Catholic United representative, and 21 years ago I started up in the Yankton area as a sales representative, and my mission was to go out and tell our story to everybody. And we do have a unique story. It was fun. Like I said earlier, faith always comes up at the table. And it was because of programs on Catholic radio and resources that you guys provide that I had an awareness of the Catholic faith, plus some other things that, you know, that's a great story in itself, how my mother gave me a cassette tape one time. And so just to change the subject, I took it and it bounced around in my glove box for at least 6 months, if not a year. And I was living in Ohio at the time and was had a lot of good friends that were Bible students. And they would always ask me about the Catholic faith. And so I would try and tell them what I could remember as a, you know, cradle Catholic, 12 years of Catholic education. Well, one day I took that cassette tape and put it in my player, and it was Scott Hahn's conversion story.
Oh, my heavens. Scott Hahn, we love him. Wow.
Then, you know, another neat thing about this job, I was in a lot of different parishes, and the Lighthouse Communications, they're now practically in every church, but I was always picking up the CDs because I drive a lot. It was good things to listen to, and we didn't always have Catholic radio available in some of those places, and we do now, but we didn't 20 years ago. And that, what you guys are doing here is what has helped me understand my faith, and maybe an answer that I've been able, or an explanation that I've been able to give somebody, just brings them a little bit closer. And so that, I'd really like to say thank you guys, because that's your mission, is really helping people understand the faith, because when you look into it, all the dots connect. And it's a beautiful picture when you know, the more you get it together. So.
And listeners, I didn't even have to pay Butch to say any of those things. God bless you for those wonderful compliments. But actually, here at the station, we had been chatting about, you know, seminar like this, because we were hearing from our friends and fellow Catholics that, you know what, we're all going to face this end of life issue. And what do we want to have happen with our loved ones? You know, at this point in our lives, you know, we are going to lose parents. You know, we ourselves are going to pass away. What do we want to have happen with our kids? You know, do we want them, you know, arguing about what mom and dad really want to have happen because they didn't have it codified anywhere or written down anywhere? And I suppose they could even argue about whether or not we're going to have cold sandwiches or chicken, you know, and that's fine. Argue about that. You know, if you want to save money and have the cold sandwiches.
This song, but no, that song. No, I know mom would want this song, but I want her to have that song. Those are decisions you can have made ahead of time.
Yeah.
And it's every decision that you can make ahead of time is a huge blessing to your children.
It really is.
Yeah, I would agree with that 1,000%. And I love the idea of including Father Lenan in all of this because, again, you know, he brings such a wealth of knowledge to the table that it's just imperative to have somebody like him that can address other things besides the technical aspects, you know, the things that we really struggle with our own faith. And, you know, that includes the funeral mass and cremation and so many other options that are out there. And what do we want to have happen? And that discussion needs to take place before someone has passed on. And now the decisions have to be made. And everybody has a different idea of what that loved one really wanted. Mm-hmm. So I think that's great. So I'm going to ask you, Butch and Angie, if someone is listening and they're kind of on the fence of, well, this sounds interesting, I might go, they have refreshments, what the heck, you know, and here's handouts, it's all good. What would you say to them to kind of get them off the fence to attend something like this?
You'll be surprised at how comfortable the environment is and what an enjoyable experience it'll be. Because you might learn something. You may get clarity on something you had heard about or was uncertain. If nothing else, it's the opportunity to ask that question that you have. Or it may reinforce what you've done up to now. But the bottom line is, it's a blessing. It's a blessing if you come and attend this and you learn or even have something reinforced. It's a blessing that you have this knowledge before you're in a situation where you have to deal with it. Maybe for your parents, an uncle, a family member, or someone, let alone yourself.
Truth. Angie, agree?
Oh, 100%. And I think, you know, I've had people that have come to this workshop that have done all this great planning and things, But for whatever reason, they feel like, you know, maybe I'll learn, maybe there's something I'm missing, you know, or, you know, and it maybe gives them affirmation, you know, that they've got, you know, things aligned the way, you know, that makes sense. And it's going to, you know, it's going to play out how they want it to. I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to come. I promise we won't pounce on you. And no pressure. We don't, certainly don't sell any products or anything like that. But rather, we really just want to be here and be available to really educate you folks and to, you know, to help in any way that we can.
And there's strength in numbers. I think a lot of times we worry that we're the only people that think a certain way about something. And then you come to something like this and you discover that there are other folk.
Exactly.
Have the same concerns, the same questions, and then you don't feel so alone.
Right.
That
exactly.
There are other people with like-mindedness.
Yep.
We tend to let others kind of get into our minds to doubt our intentions. Maybe it's people you hear at the coffee shop or someone who has a very strong opinion on things. This is an opportunity to come and get yourself peace of mind, knowing that what you're doing is in line with the values of the Catholic faith. Connect a couple of more of those dots because it all makes sense. And you've got Father Linnan will be there to answer any questions, and we'll be there to if we come across a situation that we can't answer or can't help you with, we will research and find the right source for you. Yeah. So we can help put you on the path.
And I think the other thing too, and we talked about this earlier, is our job is to really articulate it so it's easy to understand too. You know, I think sometimes people think, oh my gosh, I'm going to a workshop or a seminar and this is going to be way above my head. I'm never going to understand, you know, the topics being, you know, being discussed. And that's not, we're not doing our job if they're feeling that way when they walk out of this workshop. So we just want to keep it very simple and easy to understand and make them feel comfortable.
Okay. So again, listeners, I want to remind you, this is the End of Life Issues from a Catholic Perspective. We would love you to join us Tuesday, November 15th at 12:45 p.m. and 6 p.m. We are located at 701 West 5th Street in Sioux City. That is the St. Boniface Catholic Church offices. Father Roger Linnan is going to be present to answer a lot of your perhaps faith-based issues. But then my guests in the studio, Butch Byers, who's the regional manager for Catholic United Financial, and Angie Jorgensen, who is a sales representative with Catholic United Financial, will be on site as well to answer any other questions. And I thank both of you so much for coming to the studio and helping me communicate to the listeners this good news.
Thanks, Joanne. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
It's been, and now I have more new best friends to bring onto my show in the future. So if you have any questions, please call us here at Catholic Radio. That number is a 712 number, and then 224-5342, or you can certainly email us at fhcradio@fhcradio.com, or you can just Google us, SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com, and we are going to promote this on the website as well. So that kind of wraps up another edition of Faith in Action. I'm so pleased that you took time out of your busy schedule to either listen to us at Monday at 9 a.m., Saturday at 7 p.m. on the website, SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com, or on one of about 12 podcasting platforms, including Spotify. Again, a shout out to Mary's Choice that is the sponsor of this program. They are a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, and we love them, and we hope that you support them as well. So on behalf of my executive producer of this program, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that a faithful reaction is good, but oh, faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.